Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Critic's Couch. I am your host, Dr. Nikki, and today we are going to be talking about Tua Tagovailoa. Hopefully I'm saying that right. If you do not know who he is the 24-year-old quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. About 2 weeks ago, he was playing against the Buffalo Bills, and at that time, he was hit by their lineman, Matt Milano, after throwing a pass. Now, Tua grabbed his head and then stumbled after getting off the ground. The Miami Dolphins denied that it was a head injury. They said that the reason he stumbled is because he had an ankle and back injury and allowed him to finish the game after he was cleared by an evaluation during halftime. Unfortunately, 4 days later, he was back on the field and this time playing against the Cincinnati Bengals. He hit his head basically after being hit by the defensive lineman, Josh Tupou. Tagovailoa grabbed, you can see that his arms grew rigidly out and his fingers curled in what appeared to be what's known as a fencing response. Medical officials placed him on a stretcher and they wheeled him to an ambulance. He was taken to the hospital and later released. But with that being said, this really ignited a lot of scrutiny of the hit by the Miami Dolphins, and in particularly how it was poorly handled. As a matter of fact, I believe the individual that cleared him, which is a neurologist, was fired. But, you know, that really is not the answer. Yes, obviously the NFL has to put very more strict guidelines in terms of allowing an individual to go back into the field. The challenging part about a head injury, what most people don't realize, is unlike some other injuries, if you get a, you know, torn ACL or a back injury, it's kind of clear, it's kind of evident, you're able to see it on imaging studies. Brain imaging's not so. Unless it's a severe head injury whereby there's, an open wound, or you can see that in brain imaging studies there's a lot of bleeding going on, it may not even show. As a matter of fact, most people don't realize that mild head injuries will often not show on brain imaging, meaning on CT scans and brain MRIs. So how do we know indeed if someone has suffered a head injury? Keep in mind, if there's any loss of consciousness, a head injury has occurred. Sometimes there may be a seizure or the fencing posture, which Tua did demonstrate. The individual, especially if we're talking about an athlete, could be very slow in terms of getting up from the ground. There'll be loss of balance, problem with motor coordination, a blank look or stare in their eyes. Quite often these individuals are disoriented and don't even remember the actual hit. There could be some behavioral changes, clutching of the head after the contact, which we did see with Tua. In some cases, there may be some visible facial injury. One of the biggest factors that you'll often see that, again, can be ignored are headaches. He did report having a headache. There could be some dizziness or lightheadedness. Again, problems with balance and coordination, nausea, cognitive slowing. The person is communicating and talking, but it's much more slower. Sensitivity to light or sound. Disorientation, as I mentioned, visual disturbance, that could even be tinnitus and vertigo. So again, keep in mind that in many of these cases, just because the individual is awake and talking doesn't necessarily mean that they have not suffered a head injury. If you go to the NFL site, which I did, they have, I mean, pages and pages and pages in terms of what should be done prior to an individual going to a field, making sure that they're cleared from a head injury, but also what should be done at the time that it occurs. Unfortunately, you know, this is quite often left to the individuals that are treating them, meaning usually they have their own club doctor. It's my understanding that they have, you know, their individuals that will go ahead and evaluate the actual player. They do have what's known as the Standardized Concussion Assessment Tool, which was published in the International Concussion in Sports Group in 2017. Basically, are some guidelines, if you will, to assess an individual in terms of having a possible concussion. And supposedly, these were followed. But one of the things that it is pointed out in the NFL website, there should be a medical timeout. So, you know, if he was back in the Sunday game cleared, then obviously there would be no medical timeout. But if they had found, okay, yes, there's possibly, you know, a concussion going on, he should have never, ever been playing against Cincinnati. And I think that's where many people are outraged. You know, one of the things that most people don't realize is that when players have repeated brain injuries, it can often lead to what is known as CTE. Now, most people are familiar with CTE because Will Smith played Concussion. Yes, he played in the movie Concussion. And basically CTE came about by a forensic pathologist, Dr. Benet Amelo, which Will Smith plays, who discovers neurological deterioration that is similar to Alzheimer's disease. And he found this while conducting an autopsy on former NFL football player Mike Webster. Now, I can only tell you from my own personal evaluation from a former NFL player that when it comes to evaluating for CTE, it is rather challenging, simply because, again, we are not able to see anything on brain imaging. And that becomes quite challenging because quite often, and when we think of CTE, know that it stands for chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Quite often when we think of a head injury, number one place that people go to is brain imaging. Oh, can we see it on a brain MRI? Can we see it on a CT scan? If it's a mild head injury, no. And guess what? If you have repeated mild head injuries that quite often football players and boxers do have, you will not see it. And that is unfortunate because people believe, well, if it's not there, you know, it's not really happening. And that is not true. I know that when I assessed a former NFL player, the biggest contributing factors that led to him pursuing neuropsychological testing with me was that he had become very aggressive with his family, and his wife, who he had been with for 20 years, basically said, this is not him. He gets upset over the most minor things. Obviously, we've heard of so many unfortunate cases where it has escalated. But in this particular case, this individual did not get to the point where he was physically aggressive, but it did indeed impact his ability to function. Even in the emotional aspect, it wasn't only him becoming aggressive, he was very depressed. Neuropsychological testing with him also revealed difficulties with short-term memory. So keep that in mind, that just because someone's brain imaging comes out clear does not mean that they're okay. In actuality, what autopsies have found in former NFL players that have donated their brains is that many of their brains look very similar to that of Alzheimer's patients. Can you imagine? It's a degenerative brain condition. It gets worse with time. Hence why many of them, even after they have stopped playing, years later, they start having difficulty with memory, changes in mood, increased confusion, and even just general overall thinking. There can also be slurred speech, often known as dysarthria. And many people may remember this with Muhammad Ali, where he presented with Parkinsonism. Basically, the typical symptoms of Parkinson's disease, including tremors, slow movement, and muscle stiffness. That came about from the repeated blows that Muhammad Ali received to the head. You know, recently they have found that among the former NFL players in this particular study that they did, 99% had CTE. This suggests that the effects of the brain trauma on CTE are cumulative. The more trauma over a longer period of time, the worse it will be. And unfortunately, I don't think not enough is being done with that, because we're seeing time and time again that many players, continue to play in the sport even after having head injury. We've heard of too many cases where the ending has been fatal. Junior Sow at the age of 43, Waters at the age of 44, Dave Duerson at the age of 50 were all found to have CTE after their deaths by suicide, as were Jovan Belcher at the age of 25, a linebacker for the Kansas City Chiefs, who killed his girlfriend before shooting himself. One of the ones that we all know, unfortunately, too well is Aaron Hernandez. Aaron Hernandez at the age of 27, a former, New England Patriot tight end, died by suicide. First, he was charged with killing two individuals, being his friend, or I don't know if it was one or two, but it was a friend of his that he actually ended up killing. And while he was in prison serving time, he ended up killing himself. And these are all cases of individuals who unfortunately have fallen victim into CTE. Now, most recently, and when I mean recently, I think yesterday, this same individual who was played by Will Smith in Concussion did come out and said that he does believe Tua should retire. It's been, you know, one after the other in terms of the head injury he has received. I could imagine that must be a pretty hard pill to swallow for this 24-year-old who has his whole life ahead of him. And obviously, if you know anything about football, it takes many, many years of hard work and dedication to get to the point where Tua has reached, which is being the quarterback for an NFL team. However, if we think in terms of the long-term consequences of what multiple head injuries can be, I think it's definitely time for this player to seriously consider whether continuing to play is really worth the possibility of developing a CTE. So ladies and gentlemen, if you are an athlete or you have a child who's an athlete in a contact sport, please keep these things in mind. I think, yes, it's wonderful when we all get involved in an activity that we love, but our life and our well-being and our mental health should not be at stake. Thank you for listening in and tune in. I will keep on posting on this podcast on a weekly basis. Stay blessed. Good day, everyone, and welcome to The Critic's Couch. I am your host, Dr. Nikki, and today we are going to be talking about Tua Tagovailoa. Hopefully I'm saying that right. If you do not know who he is the 24-year-old quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. About 2 weeks ago, he was playing against the Buffalo Bills, and at that time, he was hit by their lineman, Matt Milano, after throwing a pass. Now, Tua grabbed his head and then stumbled after getting off the ground. The Miami Dolphins denied that it was a head injury. They said that the reason he stumbled is because he had an ankle and back injury and allowed him to finish the game after he was cleared by an evaluation during halftime. Unfortunately, 4 days later, he was back on the field and this time playing against the Cincinnati Bengals. He hit his head basically after being hit by the defensive lineman, Josh Tupou. Tagovailoa grabbed, or you can see that his arms grew rigidly out and his fingers curled in what appeared to be what's known as a fencing response. Medical officials placed him on a stretcher and they wheeled him to an ambulance. He was taken to the hospital and later released. But with that being said, this really ignited a lot of scrutiny of the hit by the Miami Dolphins, and in particularly how it was poorly handled. As a matter of fact, I believe the individual that cleared him, which is a neurologist, was fired. But you know, that really is not the answer. Yes, obviously the NFL has to put very more strict guidelines in terms of allowing an individual to go back into the field. The challenging part about a head injury, what most people don't realize, is unlike some other injuries, if you get a, you know, torn ACL or a back injury, it's kind of clear, it's kind of evident, you're able to see it on imaging studies. Brain imaging's not so. Unless it's a severe head injury whereby there's, you know, an open wound, or you can see that in brain imaging studies there's a lot of bleeding going on, it may not even show. As a matter of fact, most people don't realize that mild head injuries will often not show on brain imaging, meaning on CT scans and brain MRIs. So how do we know indeed if someone has suffered a head injury? Keep in mind, if there's any loss of consciousness, a head injury has occurred. Sometimes there may be a seizure or the fencing posture, which Tua did demonstrate. The individual, especially if we're talking about an athlete, could be very slow in terms of getting up from the ground. There'll be loss of balance, problem with motor coordination, a blank look or stare in their eyes. Quite often these individuals are disoriented and don't even remember the actual hit. There could be some behavioral changes, clutching of the head after the contact, which we did see with Tua. In some cases, there may be some visible facial injury. One of the biggest factors that you'll often see that, again, can be ignored are headaches. He did report having a headache. There could be some dizziness or lightheadedness. Again, problems with balance and coordination, nausea, cognitive slowing. The person is communicating and talking, but it's much more slower. Sensitivity to light or sound. Disorientation, as I mentioned, visual disturbance, that could even be tinnitus and vertigo. So again, keep in mind that in many of these cases, just because the individual is awake and talking doesn't necessarily mean that they have not suffered a head injury. If you go to the NFL site, which I did, they have, I mean, pages and pages and pages in terms of what should be done prior to an individual going to a field, making sure that they're cleared from a head injury, but also what should be done at the time that it occurs. Unfortunately, you know, this is quite often left to the individuals that are treating them, meaning usually they have their own club doctor. It's my understanding that they have, you know, their individuals that will go ahead and evaluate the actual player. They do have what's known as the Standardized Concussion Assessment Tool, which was published in the International Concussion in Sports Group in 2017. Basically, are some guidelines, if you will, to assess an individual in terms of having a possible concussion. And supposedly, these were followed. But one of the things that it is pointed out in the NFL website, there should be a medical timeout. So, you know, if he was back in the Sunday game cleared, then obviously there would be no medical timeout. But if they had found, okay, yes, there's possibly, you know, a concussion going on, he should have never, ever been playing against Cincinnati. And I think that's where many people are outraged. You know, one of the things that most people don't realize is that when players have repeated brain injuries, it can often lead to what is known as CTE. Now, most people are familiar with CTE because Will Smith played a, I believe it was, I'm trying to remember what movies. Somebody help me. Somebody. Oh, Concussion. Yes. He played in the movie Concussion. And basically, CTE came about by a forensic pathologist, Dr. Benet Amelo, which Will Smith plays, who discovers neurological deterioration that is similar to Alzheimer's disease. And he found this while conducting an autopsy on former NFL football player Mike Webster. Now, I can only tell you from my own personal evaluation from a former NFL player that when it comes to evaluating for CTE, it is rather challenging, simply because, again, we are not able to see anything on brain imaging. And that becomes quite challenging because quite often, and when we think of CTE, know that it stands for chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Quite often when we think of a head injury, number one place that people go to is brain imaging. Oh, can we see it on a brain MRI? Can we see it on a CT scan? If it's a mild head injury, no. And guess what? If you have repeated mild head injuries that quite often football players and boxers do have, you will not see it. And that is unfortunate because people believe, well, if it's not there, you know, it's not really happening. And that is not true. I know that when I assessed a former NFL player, the biggest contributing factors that led to him pursuing neuropsychological testing with me was that he had become very aggressive with his family, and his wife, who he had been with for 20 years, basically said, this is not him. He gets upset over the most minor things. Obviously, we've heard of so many unfortunate cases where it has escalated. But in this particular case, this individual did not get to the point where he was physically aggressive, but it did indeed impact his ability to function. Even in the emotional aspect, it wasn't only him becoming aggressive, he was very depressed. Neuropsychological testing with him also revealed difficulties with short-term memory. So keep that in mind, that just because someone's brain imaging comes out clear does not mean that they're okay. In actuality, what autopsies have found in former NFL players that have donated their brains is that many of their brains look very similar to that of Alzheimer's patients. Can you imagine? It's a degenerative brain condition. It gets worse with time. Hence why many of them, even after they have stopped playing, years later, they start having difficulty with memory, changes in mood, increased confusion, and even just general overall thinking. There can also be slurred speech, often known as dysarthria. And many people may remember this with Muhammad Ali, where he presented with Parkinsonism. Basically, the typical symptoms of Parkinson's disease, including tremors, slow movement, and muscle stiffness. That came about from the repeated blows that Muhammad Ali received to the head. You know, recently they have found that among the former NFL players in this particular study that they did, 99% had CTE. This suggests that the effects of the brain trauma on CTE are cumulative. The more trauma over a longer period of time, the worse it will be. And unfortunately, I don't think not enough is being done with that. Because we're seeing time and time again that many players, continue to play in the sport even after having head injury. We've heard of too many cases where the ending has been fatal. Junior Sal at the age of 43, Waters at the age of 44, Dave Duerson at the age of 50 were all found to have CTE after their deaths by suicide. Asra Jovan Belcher at the age of 25, a linebacker for the Kansas City Chiefs, who killed his girlfriend before shooting himself. One of the ones that we all know, unfortunately, too well is Aaron Hernandez. Aaron Hernandez, at the age of 27, a former, I believe, New England Patriot tight end, died by suicide. First, he, I believe, was charged with killing two individuals, being his friend, or I don't know if it was one or two, but it was a friend of his that he actually ended up killing. And while he was in prison serving time, he ended up killing himself. And these are all cases of individuals who unfortunately have fallen victim into CTE. Now, most recently, and when I mean recently, I think yesterday, this same individual who was played by Will Smith in Concussion did come out and said that he does believe Tua should retire. It's been, you know, one after the other in terms of the head injury he has received. I could imagine that must be a pretty hard pill to swallow for this 24-year-old who has his whole life ahead of him. And obviously, if you know anything about football, it takes many, many years of hard work and dedication to get to the point where Tua has reached, which is being the quarterback for an NFL team. However, if we think in terms of the long-term consequences of what multiple head injuries can be, yeah, I think it's definitely time for this player to seriously consider whether continuing to play is really worth the possibility of developing a CTE. So ladies and gentlemen, you know, if you are an athlete or you have a child who's an athlete in a contact sport, please keep these things in mind. I think, yes, it's wonderful when we all get involved in an activity that we love, but our life and our well-being and our mental health should not be at stake. Thank you for listening in and tune in. I will keep on posting on this podcast on a weekly basis. Stay blessed.